Moshe Spurn. I don't know if you can get to make it in the end. Moshe here?
Yeah.
It is easy. He's been here. But I want to thank him, and SOY was also co-sponsored. And Rabbi Itai Schnall, who helped through the Wheat's office, and the Wheat's office for sponsoring also. It's very, very meaningful and very appreciated that the yeshiva and that the Talmidim of the yeshiva, which is what SOY is all about, identify with my mother's yahrzeit. It's very meaningful to me. And I want to thank Shua, who's not able to be here. But the reason that he's not here is because of the topic that we're discussing, namely the centrality of family. A number of Talmidim who are already, you know, fathers and husbands, you know, had other obligations. So again, it would be kind of hypocritical for me, you know, to be unhappy about that. So they just probably didn't need to come because they already know what it is that we're about to say. But I appreciate Shua helped me with the koros, as he does very often. And I want to appreciate it just also to acknowledge my appreciation of anybody who took the trouble to be here this evening, the younger generation and all the other generations. I know it's difficult on Hanukkah. People have, again, family obligations in particular, which is, I think, a big theme in Hanukkah, as we'll discuss this evening. And so I appreciate that people take time from their busy schedules and their own misibot and so on to take some time to help me commemorate my mother's yahrzeit in what I consider to be a proper fashion. I also want to acknowledge that my brother and his family are here, and we're always equal partners together with my sister, who's also in America but couldn't be here this evening, in commemorating my mother's yahrzeit. Let me begin with something a little more general, and then we're going to speak very specifically about the mitzvah of Chanukah, and then we'll go back to some more general things, depending on how much time we have. The mitzvah says at the end of Masechet, somebody is taping, by the way, I know Hanan will be upset with me otherwise. The mitzvah says at the end of Masechet Makos, that Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos is Yisrael, L'Fikach Hirbalem Torah Mitzvos, Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to merit Klal Yisrael, he wanted to give them extra schuyos, and therefore he increased the amount of Torah mitzvos that they had. And then the pasuk that we always say, Hashem chafetz leman tzidko yagdil Torah v'yagdil. So this idea that extra mitzvos constitute a special schuyos for Klal Yisrael is a fascinating idea. The Rambam, Pirush Mishnayos, talks about the ability to, you know, excel in a particular mitzvah, to find your niche, to be a specialist in a mitzvah, among other things. But clearly, the Mishnah has in mind not merely the quantity of mitzvos, the 613 commandments and what they represent, but especially the idea behind the taryag, which is a certain kind of symbiosis, a certain kind of balance that is created by the multitude of halachic obligations, and especially the range, the scope of what taryag mitzvos really means, the fact that there are mitzvos of very different, in some respects, maybe seemingly conflicting varieties. The fact that all of this comes under the rubric of mitzvos, and that they're here not, again, to confuse us, but to enhance our spiritual lives, to make our lives meaningful, is a major statement and a significant statement by Chazal. Halachic life is challenging, in other words, and it is wide-ranging, and it is complex. It's meant to be lived on different planes. One of the most obvious of those different planes is the interplay between the individual obligation and the communal or the collective obligation. All of us are familiar with Chovos Yachid and Chovos HaTzibor. Mishnayos speak of them in different ways. Personal obligations and communal obligations. No, mostly, the dual demands of Chovas Yachid and Chovas Tzibur integrate with one another. They enhance each other, imposing a sense, on the one hand, of personal involvement and responsibility, the Chovas Yachid part, while at the same time creating, through the Tzibur, a common bond, shared aspiration between fellow Jews, Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh LaZeh. Sometimes the ability of one Jew to impact the life of the other, what seems to be the concept of a chiyuv yachid that extends even to another, is accomplished by the means of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh. We're all familiar with the notion of Yatza Motzi, person already made Kiddush, he can make Kiddush for someone else. There are two explanations in the Rishonim as to why that really works. Both of them touch on a different aspect of this idea. According to some Rishonim, as long as every Jew hasn't fulfilled his obligation, no Jew has fully fulfilled his personal obligation. That zeroes in on the idea that the personal is impacted by the collective. And other Rishonim just the opinion that even though he fully accomplished his own goal, nonetheless, he's allowed to do something that otherwise would be considered a bracha levatala, because we don't just make brachos for no reason, obviously. Gratuitous brachos are asur, whether it's an Isidoraisa or Isidrabanan, a debate among the Rishonim, but certainly we discourage gratuitous brachos. And yet, according to this other view, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh, I can kind of extricate myself from my own personal bubble, my own personal world, and I can do something, not for myself, because my fulfillment is incomplete, but I can do something for him, the Torah's doing something for him. So there is a Chiyuv Yachid, there's a Chiyuv Tzibur, there's the interface of Chiyuv Yachids and Tzibur's as well. The Tzibur aspect, of course, provides a collective vehicle that deepens and that expands beyond the individual religious experience and expression. The Shalah explained that how could it be that there are Taryag mitzvos, which represent, you know, Ramach Ebarim and Shasa Gidim. After all, no individual is able to accomplish Taryag mitzvos, no matter who he be. Even the Kohen Gadol can't do Taryag mitzvos. And certainly the rest of us can't do even close to Taryag mitzvos, although we can do quite a bit, and we certainly can try to do as many as we can. So where is the homeostasis in the perfect balance created by Ramach Ebarim and Shasa Gidim, if in the end of the day no one can do it? And the answer that he gives in his Hakdama is that every yachid is part of the tzibur. And as such, through the tzibur, he has access to mitzvos that otherwise are beyond his ken. And that, of course, is a very important principle. That's the idea of the tzibur providing access to the individual for his mitzvos. But of course, it's much more than that. The tzibur doesn't just expand the individual's connection to particular mitzvos, thereby ensuring some form of spiritual homeostasis. Obviously, the idea is that collective Klal Yisrael are able to accomplish certain acts of Avodas Hashem, which the individual is not able to do. Often, those are Dvarim Shebekdusha, which therefore require at least a minyan. There are chovos tzibors, and there are chovos yachids, which require a tzibor. Sometimes there are important differences between them, in terms of how many people have to be involved in the chiyuv for the first time, for example, or be involved in the chiyuv, all 10, the majority of 10. Other such nafkamina, as well as kriyas haTorah, chovos tzibor, a chovos yachid, even though it needs a tzibor, etc. So even just as within the world of the yachid, there are different perspectives of how yechidim connect with each other, so too, in the world of the tzibur, there are different models and different paradigms as to how that exactly works, and whether the tzibur is there to fulfill some additional need of the yachid, or we're really talking about the collectivity of Klal Yisrael. Dinei Eretz Yisrael, as we've had the opportunity to point out on other occasions, many of the dinim of Eretz Yisrael, especially the ones that are not connected to the karka of Eretz Yisrael itself, to the soil of Eretz Yisrael, what the Mishnah in Masechet Kiddushin calls Kovas Karka, Trumos and Maestros and Chala, and so on and so forth. But the other dinim of Eretz Yisrael, many of which the Rav used to call the dinim of Shame Eretz Yisrael, that depend on the status of Eretz Yisrael, many of those dinim reflect the collectivity of Klal Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael's role as the national headquarters of the Jewish people establishes that the calendar can only be pronounced there, all things being equal. It also explains some exceptions. certain dinim, smicha, negla rufa, maybe nevua, other things have to do with Eretz Yisrael, not merely as a venue in which yechidim can accomplish certain individual mitzvos. That's true with regard to the chovas karkas, the trumos, the maisros, the chala, the truma, etc. But with regard to these other issues, it's the home of collective Klal Yisrael. And that's why the Sifrei, I believe, in Parshas Ekev, which seems to say that even chovos haguf, even individual mitzvos, like putting on tzitzis and tefillin and so on, that they have some special yichus in Eretz Yisrael. Medrash even seems to say that, you know, we do them in Chutz Laaretz so that we won't lose sight of them, so that when we return, we'll be able more fully to participate in them. All of that implies that every mitzvah on some level, there are certain mitzvahs that are mitzvahs that have to do with the collectivity, with the tzibur of Klal Yisrael, and even every individual mitzvah, again, relating back to the dialectic I mentioned before, is enhanced by being done right in the place of the tzibur. And therefore, the tefillin and the mezuzah and the tzitzis and so on and so forth that you do in Chutz Laaretz takes on a new or a different dimension in Eretz Yisrael. Indeed, the parshios of Shema and of Hayim Shemoa, which are so connected to each other, as Chazal note, one is Belashon Yachid and one other is Belashon Rabim, all of this reflecting on this basic idea. Vishinantem vishinanta, vidibartem vidibarta, all of these integrate. When Rus wanted to succinctly encapsulate what it is that her, in a pithy way, but to crystallize what religious commitment is all about, she spoke about Amechami, right? And Elokoyach Elokoy. Amechami is the national part, the tzibur, being part of the tzibur. Elokoyach Elokoy, of course, also has a tzibur component, but it begins with the individual as somebody who is committed to developing a kesher with the Rabbeinu Sholom by means of Torah mitzvahs. And when the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva wants to explain that a poresh min hatzibur is somebody who is in the category of a min, that he has a status of an apikoros, which sounds like a very harsh statement, he describes this individual as somebody who is fully committed and accomplished in the performing of individual mitzvos, but, you know, that performance is done without any kind of identification with the tzibur, with Klal Yisrael. He's not misane betanisam, right? He's not, doesn't associate himself with their tzoros. The mitzvos that he does privately. So it seems like you have an individual who, you know, is machmir every chumrah that you can imagine on a yachid level, but his rejection of the tzibur is something which makes all of his mitzvos invalid. It tears him from the framework, from the anchor, which makes Chovas HaYachid significant. The truth is that there is, however, a third category. And in my opinion, this third category is the foundation for Yachid and Tzibur in many halachos, and is the paradigm for the bridge between them as well. And that is the family unit. And it's to the family unit that I want to speak a little bit, a very big topic, but we'd like to speak a little bit this evening in the context of Chanukah. So now, having said something a little bit general, we'll get back to the general to reinforce the idea of family in the general scheme. What I'd like to do is take a few minutes and talk about the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah, as we try to do every year. It's a striking phenomenon that the core kiyum of the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah, as we know, is the mitzvah of Ner Ishubesa. We have some makoros, again, thanks to Shua's diligence, so we'll try to use them. It could be, we've cut out a little bit, okay, so I'll keep an eye on, this is the latest, right? Okay, so let's just start on page one. The Gemara here describes that there is, you know, that there are three levels of the performance of this mitzvah. In that sense, the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah is, you know, unique in every way. Talked about this other years as well. But this year I want to speak about the core part of the mitzvah and how we perceive that. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Mitzvah Chanukah Ner Ish Ubeisa. The Mitzvah of Chanukah expresses itself in Ner Ish Ubeisa, a strange expression. An expression which we're all very familiar with, because we've seen it many, many times. It comes trippingly off our tongues. But it's a strange expression when you take a step back. If somebody hadn't heard it before, Ner Ish Ubeisa, candle, man, and house, right, sounds a little, obviously it's shorthand, but it sounds a little peculiar. It sounds like there's a slogan there. Usually when we encounter slogans, it can be for one of three reasons. Either they're very efficient, you know, they're a mnemonic device, or there's something to a slogan, right? It kind of captures something. Ner Ish Ubeisa. Okay. I'm obviously going to suggest the second, not the first. Okay. Then the Gemara says, V'hamahadrin, full disclosure, Ner L'kol Echad V'Echad. Mahadrin, that's the second level, is Ner L'kol Echad V'Echad, a candle for each individual. What that means is that depending on how many people there are in the home, it's also very peculiar. Almost no one speaks about, you know, the concept of Mahadrin. Everybody speaks about, you know, Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin, and rarely people speak about Ner Ish Ubeisa. It's like, no one does it, so why should we talk about it? That's why we're going to confront this challenging topic this evening, because we take on all topics. So Mahadrin, which is even more neglected, is Ner L'kol Echad V'Echad. That's a Ner based on how many people are in the home. Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, here you have a machlokas. Beis Shammai Omrim Yom Rishon Madlik Shmona V'Kan V'Elech Polches V'Hole. And Beis Hillel Omrim Yom Rishon Madlik Achas V'Kan V'Elech Mosif V'Hole. So Beis Shammai is the opinion that you go down in the count. You start, you know, with a bang, and you, I don't say end with a whimper, but you decline as you go forward in the days. And we pass like Beis Hillel, Malam B'Kodesh V'Lo Moridin, or the other reasons that are given in the continuation of the Gemara, that we add Ner every single night of Mahadrin Mahadrin. But of course, what's not clear in the Gemara, and what's debated among Rishonim, is what we mean by Mahadrin and Mahadrin. Does it mean that we add a candle in the house every day, so that on the eighth day there are eight candles, on the seventh day there are seven candles, and so on and so forth? There is such a sheet on the Rishonim. Does it mean, like the Rama Paskins, and like all of us, I'm guessing, do, and that is that every individual lights every day according to the number of days in Chanukah? So on the third night, it's not Sefiras Omer, so we can talk about it. On the third night, we light three candles. On the fifth night, we light five candles. Every individual, that's the view of the Rambam. And as we'll see in a moment, the Rambam's view was that Mahadrin and the Mahadrin is the Balabayas lights in the home, right, according to the number of days and people. It's like a candle, according to the number of the night of Hanukkah, a candle for each individual. So the same number of candles as for the Ramah, but it's all lit by the Balabayas. That's the view of the Rambam. Okay. So what's fascinating, of course, is this first core category of Ner Ish Ubeisa. Right? So where do we find in the world of halacha, right, that bias, that a home, defines the nature of an obligation? We do have such a thing regarding mezuzah, right? Mezuzah chobes hador, mezuzah chobes habayis. Actually, the relationship between Chanukah and mezuzah is an interesting one, right? What happens, you know, when there is a mezuzah, when there's not a mezuzah, where do you put the, you know, the neros of Chanukah? So that is actually a natural connection. But on the surface, the mezuzah, even if it is a chovas habayis, so mezuzah's place is in the bayis. But on the surface, Ner Chanukah is a mitzvah, and why it should have been particularly the bayis is a question to begin with. Why it should be defined by the bayis, not a chovas hayachid, not a chovas hatzibur, is certainly very peculiar. For example, it would have occurred to us, maybe, that, you know, maybe the best place to light the Neros Chanukah would be in the synagogue, in the Beis HaKnesses. But as we'll soon, or as we'll discuss very briefly at some point, lighting in the Beis HaKnesses is an extremely controversial practice. There are poskim who think that it's a bracha levatala. You shouldn't do it even without a bracha, but you certainly shouldn't make a bracha. Our practice, Ashkenazim, certainly is to make a bracha in the Beis HaKnesses, but there seems to be a very good reason to light in the Beis HaKnesses. right? The Pirsumei Nisa is part of the story of Neros Chanukah. The Gemara says in Shabbos that if you have to choose between Neros Chanukah and Kiddush, that you have either money to buy the wine or money to buy the Neros Chanukah, that you you opt for the Neros Chanukah because it's Pirsumei Nisa, and that overrides Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir, the din of Kiddush Hayom. But Pirsumei Nisa, there are other indications of this, is a very, very strong motivating factor. So why wouldn't you light? I mean, we do light outside the home, but you get much more bang for your Pirsumei Nisa if you were to light in a bigger and more public spot. And indeed, some of those who justified lighting the Beis HaKnesses, you know, did emphasize this factor of Pirsum and Kiddush Hashem V'Rabim, etc. Chacham Tzvi, in a tshuva, which we have a chance later, we'll read, if not, you could take it home with you, Siman Peches, strongly attacks the position of lighting in the Beis HaKnesses with a bracha, cites the position of Pirsumei Nisa, but says, listen, that's not the halacha in Hanukkah. But it begs the question, why isn't it? Why the bias, why did that become the locus, particularly, of Neros Hanukkah? It's not the locus of many other mitzvahs. Now, that's true no matter what view you take or what tier of Mitzvahs Chanukah you're dealing with, or whether it's the first one or the second or the third, even according to the Ramah, the preferred place to light is in your home. But it's even more fundamental a question if we're talking about Ner Ishu Besa, obviously. What is the reason that that is sufficient, that that is the proper way to light, the basic or core way that we light? Moreover, what I'm going to try to establish very briefly is that it's not merely, you know, the first tier, but just a b'di'eved, although relative to Mahadran and Mahadran, certainly it's a b'di'eved. But we find that Ner Ishu Besa, at least according to many of the Mefarshim, remains a chalos, it remains a factor in Neros Chanukah, even from the perspective of Mahadran and Mahadran. In other words, even if you take the view of the Ramah of Mahadran and Mahadran, there seems still to be yichus to that first candle, or to the idea of a single candle, and especially to the idea of a single candle, the first candle that is lit in the home every evening. There seems to be yichus to who is lighting it. There seems to be yichus, we'll get to this in a couple of minutes, with regard to problems of making a bracha over La Siyasan, with regard to treating that first nair with greater care, etc. And the question is why? Once we adopt the lechatchila of Mahadran and a Mahadran, then why does Ner Ishu Besa not merely fade into the background? That would have been the minimalist way to accomplish the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Why does it retain some sort of stature? This is particularly a vexing problem, or an ironic problem, seemingly, given the nature of mitzvah Neros Chanukah, you know, more generally. Noted in other years past that there's ample evidence that Neros Chanukah is perceived to be a very unusual mitzvah. The very phenomenon of a triple formulation of the mitzvah, right? The core mitzvah, Mahadran, is unparalleled in the world of halacha. We know of the concept of Zekeli Vandehu, right? But we don't know of three levels, and we certainly don't know of levels in Zekeli Vandehu that seem to change the focus and the action, the tzura, of what it is that we do. This is more pronounced for the Ramah, obviously, than for the Rambam, because we shifted from a chovas habayis, if you will, to a chovas yachid. That's certainly different than any other zekei livanveyu. But even according to the Rambam, the idea that zekei livanveyu isn't just about nicer candles, more pleasant, you know, pleasantly, you know, peering candles, etc., as it is in other zekei livanveyus. You know, a talis na'ah, you know, tefillin, you know, na'im, you know, etc. Even the dalet minim, which have a special din of hadar, but at least according to some rishonim, still are connected to the concept of Zakeli Vardeyu, we're talking about the, you know, amplifying the beauty of the minim themselves. We're not talking about a different configuration of how many you take or what you take, etc. So the idea that there are three, that the three are qualitatively different, etc., is very striking and highlights that mitzvah Nerchanukah is a mitzvah that we embrace. Indeed, the Rambam, in Perek Dalet of Hilchos Chanukah Halacha Yud Beis, if you look here on page one, right here in the first page, mitzvah Nerchanukah mitzvah kaviva hi ad ma'od, a very beautiful formulation of the Rambam. This is a most endearing mitzvah. Betzar kadam lihizaher bo kedei lodia hanes lahosif b'shevach hakel v'hodoya lo nisim shasalonu. The Rambam adds, afilu eina mayochal alam minat staka, we'll get back to this, sholo mokar ksusa v'lokeach shemen v'neiro sumadli. Even if a person has to sell the shirt off his back, literally, he should do that for Neiros Chanukah. Because it's a mitzvah chabivad ma'od, and it's a mitzvah which expresses hoda. Tzfas Emes makes the comment, you know, where do we find that we have a holiday, we've spoken about this in past years, where do we find a holiday that is dedicated, you know, to the miracle of preserving a mitzvah? That's a very surprising notion. Usually something happens, you have some sort of hatzalah, some other kind of a nes, and we do mitzvahs to commemorate, you know, the nes. Here we have a nes, right? And we, you know, basically we're concerned in the aftermath of the nes about performing a mitzvah. And the miracle that allowed us to perform that particular important mitzvah, lighting the Ner Maracha in the Mikdash, is what triggers this celebration. So the Rambam's description of Chavivad Mo'od, which is shared by the Bali Tosis as well, Tosis in Sukkah Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph, says, where do we find another mitzvah where there's a Birchas HaRoeh? Right? Where do we find that, you know, when you walk by and you see the performance of a mitzvah that you break out, you know, in a bracha, right? Also, Nisim Lavo Seim. But we find that in Neiros Chanukah. We'll talk more about it in just a minute. When you see a lulav and esrog, you see somebody, you know, you haven't had a chance to do your lulav and esrog yet. But you know, when you encounter someone else's, you don't say shasan nisim. When you do your own, you don't say shasan nisim Lavo Seim. So the Bali Tosa say because mitzvah Chanukah chaviva ma'od. It's a special kind of a mitzvah. We find this lashon in the Rishon. So, if indeed, and I've suggested in the past, that the mitzvah of Chanukah reflects a certain kind of spiritual maximalism, the idea of l'chadchila itself, and that's why the notion of mahadrin, mahadrin, mina mahadrin, the qualitative mahadrins, and many of the issues that come along with it are explained in that way. That's why we do make a shevach v'hoda, a nes, a celebration on the performance of mitzvahs, the drought, the potential spiritual extinction that could have been caused by Lashkicham Torasecha Lavira Michuke Ritzonecha, you know, Zaydin Biad Oske Torasecha, was such that we, you know, celebrate by jumping right back in Ratzon Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezakos as Yisrael, Lefika Kibbal and Torah mitzvahs, and we do it in a way that reflects that we are, you know, immensely gratified for this opportunity. So Chanukah is a mitzvah chaviva hi me'ad ma'od. It symbolizes the performance of mitzvah on the highest of levels. But if all that is true, then can it also be true at the same time that to accomplish it in its most basic and core way, that all you have to do is ner ish uveso, and that can compete in some respects with mahadrin mina mahadrin. I'll explain what I mean in a minute. And that even when you perform mahadrin, mina mahadrin, right, there still remains the core of ner ish uveso. One would have thought it's a completely different chalos. Right, I'm getting some approval by my newest grandson. And one would have thought that ner ish uveso is a b'di'eved. You use it when you have to. And otherwise, we embrace mahadrin, mina mahadrin. Why is it that we have kept Ner Ish Uveso alive to the extent that we have? The fact is, this I'm not going to go into right now, but there's a lot of tension in Pesach Halacha. We get these questions, you know, every single year. That is when you have to make a difficult choice. Right? Not everybody is home in the bosom of their family and their actual physical house every night of Hanukkah. Right? So is it preferred to rely on Neri Shebeso, even when you're not there? Right? Or to do Mahadrin Mahadrin outside of your bias? That's a very important shaila. And when do you have to be Mishtatef Mepriti and when not? These are very complicated questions, are a wide, wide, much wider than people know, range of different views on this topic. One would have thought that once there is something called Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, and especially if you pass like the Ramah, that it becomes a Kobas Hayaked. If you ought to embrace the Kobas Hayaked, there's never any such question. And most people actually do practice this way. However, it's not a simple matter at all. How do we explain the views that prefer the connection to the bias, and maybe even Neri Shebeso, or being Yotze at home, through whatever's happening at home, which is an extension of that? How do we explain those views? What happened to Mahadrin and Mahadrin? Oh. But I think if we look at the Rambam's formulation of Neri Shebeso and Mahadrin and Mahadrin, it's already clear that the Rambam understood that Neri Shebeso was not simply a first tier in the sense of Bidyevet. But the Rambam subtly changed the language of the Gemara. But the Gemara says, as we discussed, Mitzvahs Chanukah, Neri Shebeso, Ha Mehadrin Ner L'Kol Echad V'Yachad, Ha Mehadrin Min HaMehadrin, and so. The Rambam changed it. Kama Neros Humadlik B'Chanukah. The Rambam already, you could see, made Neri Shebeso into a choice. Mitzvasa, instead of saying like the Gemara says, Mitzvas Chanukah, Neri Shebeso, Mahadrin, it's like a colon in the Gemara. In the Rambam, it's Kama Neros Humadlik, and he switched the order. Mitzvasa, which means not just Bidyeved, but the core mitzvah, Shiyya, Kol Bayis Ubayis Madlik Ner Echad. Instead of just saying Neri Shebeso, or even less, a more minimalist formulation that we find in the Shulchan Aruch. If you look at the Shulchan Aruch, which is, I believe, on page 2, the Shulchan Aruch says, Simit Tafrei Shayin Aleph Steve Beis, Kama Neros Madlik, Belayla HaRishon Madlik Echad, right? Mikan Ve'elech Mosef V'Holech, Yesham D'Kolachem, basically the Shulchan Aruch practically ignores Neri Shebeso. But the Rambam turned Neri Shebeso into a real heel. Kama Neri Shemadlik, Mitzvashia, Kol Bayis, Subayis, and who's Madlik? The Bayis is Madlik. We'll get back to that. Ner Echad, Bein Shayu Anshe Abayis Merubin, Bein Shaloi Hayal Adam Echad. All this is true, but all this is not in the Gemara. I mean, the Rambam is embracing Neri Shebeso as a key. And then, of course, what the Rambam did was Va'mahadir es ha-mitzvah. It's not that there's something called Mahadrin. The Rambam says, Mahadir es ha-mitzvah. Which mitzvah? The mitzvah that we just spoke about, Neri Shebeso, right? That's mitzvasa. It's not the minimum and an alternative form of the mitzvah. It is the core of the mitzvah. Now, do you want to build on it and enhance it? Right? Ha-mahadir es ha-mitzvah? Madlik Neri's Kaminyan on Shebayis. Ner l'kol echad v'yechad, bein anashim, bein nashim, notice the same kind of language, bein, right, merubin, bein adam echad, right, bein anashim, bein nashim, basically this is a parallel, this is the next level. V'mahader, yeser al zeh, not even called mahadrin or mahadrin, right, that's what the Gemara calls it, v'osa mitzvah namuvkar, madlik ner l'kol echad v'yechad, B'leil Rishon U'mosif Aholif B'chol Laila V'Laila Ner Echad. The Rambam's view is that the Balabayas lights according to the minyan of Anshe Beso and the number of the days. Okay, so then the Rambam explains, you know, how this works. The effect of the Rambam is that Neri Shebeso is not just a B'dievet, but it is the core obligation. Everything builds on that. And the Mahadrin and Mahadrin and Mahadrin are different expressions of the Chovas Abayis expresses just the unity of the home, the common denominator of it, which is a very important principle, or it also expresses the each individual in the home, or it also expresses each individual, right, as he celebrates each separate day. These are three different expressions But all of them are related to Ketzad, Kama Madlik, and it's a Chofetz HaBayis. The question is, why did the Rambam do this? In the Chiddush HaGriz al Rambam, which we don't have here, it was a little long, we decided not to print it, he makes the following fascinating suggestion. Revelvel is of the opinion that the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramah is really a machlokas in Zekei Livan Veil, in Hidur Mitzvah more generally. Following the position of his grandfather, Beis Halevi, Beis Halevi thought that there is a major debate regarding Hidur Mitzvah, and that is whether Hidur Mitzvah has to be connected to the Ikar Mitzvah or not. If you have an Ikar Mitzvah and then you're mafsik, right, or something disrupts the Ikar Mitzvah, can you then afterwards add on the Hidur Mitzvah, or a Hidur always has to be connected to the Ikar? It's always a tuffel, it's always an enhancement of the main. So the Beis Halevi understood that this was the debate between the Ramah and the Rambam regarding a certain case in Mila, right? Tzitzin, She'enan Ma'akvin, is a Mila, if you lead some of the threads of the Mila. So the Gemara says that cutting them is Zekei Livandeyu, it's a Hidur Mitzvah. And there's a debate between the Rambam and the Ramah whether or not, if you don't do it right away, is there any benefit, you accomplish the Hidur Mitzvah or not. The Ramah is of the opinion that whenever you do it, it's fine, unless it's Shabbos, because Shabbos, you only have the right, Shabbos or Yontif, you only have the right to do the actual core Mila, that's what's Docha Shabbos, and the Tzitzin, She'enam Akvin of Mila, can be done if they're done in conjunction, because it's all one action. But if you separate the two on Shabbos, then you're stuck. But during the week, any other time, there's no reason why you can't separately do the Tzitzin Shin Makrin Samila, because Hidur Mitzvah can be independent of the Mitzvah, not the Mitzvah of the Mitzvah itself. But the Rambam disagrees. Rambam thinks not only on Shabbos, but generally, you only go back for Tzitzin Shin Makrin Samila, right, in the context of the Ikar Mila itself. So very, very, very brilliantly, Rav Belville suggests that the debate between the Rambam and the Ramah about Mahadrin and a Mahadrin stems from this argument that they have in Hilchos Mila. The Rambam, who thinks that Hidur Mitzvah has to be connected to the Ikar Mitzvah, so he thinks that the Baal HaBayis, who lights, has to continue to light for the whole family. Otherwise, it disrupts the Ikar Mitzvah. That's consistent with his view in Hilchos Mila. And the Ramah, who thinks that you can have Hidur Mitzvah that is disentangled from the Ikar Mitzvah, was of the opinion, just like you can go back for Tzitzin She'en Ma'akvin, just because one person does the Ikar Mitzvah, Neri Shebeso, doesn't mean that anybody else can't light separately and accomplish the Hidur Mitzvah. That's Revelvel's explanation. It's a fascinating perspective, except there are certain things that flow from this perspective that are, I think, a little counterintuitive. One is, Revelvel understands that the Hidur Mitzvah of Mahadrin and Mahadrin and Mahadrin is a typical din in Zekei Livan Veil, not more. Because the fact that there's a triple tier here, and that it's qualitative, not just quantitative, that doesn't establish that it's more. It's the typical din of Zekeli. If anything, it actually is less. Because the Gemara says in Bava Kamma that there's a financial limit for Hidur Mitzvah, right? Shlish Bedama. And everybody knows that, obviously, if you're going to pay for the amount of oil or candles for Mahadrim, and a Mahadrim, it's a lot more. It's multiples. It's not a Shlish Bedama more than the core mitzvah. So Rav Elvel says that's true. Mahadrin and Mahadrin is even less than Zekei Livan Veil. That's why we call it Mahadar Achar Mitzvah, because it's even less than a regular Zekei Livan Veil. Or I think my intuition, I'll speak for myself, tells me that the Dinim on Chanukah of Mahadrin and Mahadrin and Mahadrin imply that it's more than the regular Zekei Livan Veil, not less. Moreover, according to Rav Elvel's understanding, what you would end up saying, he says this actually, is that the Ramah's view is a kula, not a chumrah. It's not that the Ramah thinks that every individual has to, or the lechatilas for every individual to light separately. Every individual could light separately. But if the Bala Bayis wants to light for everybody, that would be fine and good too. Because if the mashal, if the paradigm of the relationship between Hidra Mitzvah and Ikar Mitzvah stands, so then basically the Ramah is being makel. The Ramah says you can still do the Hidra Mitzvah, but is there anything wrong with the Hidra Mitzvah being connected to the Ikar Mitzvah? Let the Bala Bayis light for everybody. He certainly, in that piece, does not address what is so compelling about each individual lighting Neros Chanukah. Moreover, this is very important as well, Revelvel assumes that Neri Shubeso and that Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, are on the same plane for both the Rabbah and for the Rabbah. And therefore, the question of what constitutes the Ikra Mitzvah and its link to the Hidra Mitzvah is an open and relevant question. But one could have said, and there's a lot of evidence, other poskim to say, that once you take the root of Hidur Mitzvah, Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, that Nerishu Beso no longer exists. Nerishu Beso is a method, the minimalist method of accomplishing this mitzvah. And if you go the more L'chadchila root of Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, then we assess what you're doing on the basis of Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin. So that the Nerishu Beso that the Bala Bayis began, let's say there are three people lighting in the house, and the first one lit the first Ner, one could have said that that is irrelevant. We'll see in a moment echoes of the same idea. So that's the assumptions in Revelvel's perspective. If you ask me, it sounds like the Rambam's position is much more basic than that. It has nothing to do with the Hidur being connected to the Ikar. It has to do with the fact that Neri Shubeso is not just a slogan and it's not just a minimum, but on the contrary, it is the L'chadchila way that we express the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah. And therefore, connecting Ish Lebeso, even aside from the din, it may also be true about Zakei Levandeu, that part may be correct, but the basic idea in the Rambam is that there is a mitzvah, this is the mitzvah, v'amahader, v'amahader, biyoser. These are all forms of the same chalos. And the question is then, why? What's so great about Neri Shubei? What's so compelling about Neri Shubei so that we have this category that we don't have anywhere else pretty much in the halacha? Oh. This question raises another question very much connected to it. And that is, how do we understand Neri Shubei so itself? How does it really work? So just to crystallize this, I want to read a quick few lines from the Igros HaGrid, a letter that the Rav wrote to his father when he was in Europe, which is fascinating in its own right. So this is on page 2. Et mol ra'iti etzel echad et sefer Turei Eved shishtamish bo agon Rabbi Kiveger. That's already, you know, a wow factor. So he went to somebody's house. I mean, probably wasn't just somebody. And he had the Turei Eved with the personal scribbles or comments of Rabbi Kiveger in the margin. Rabbi Kiveger's Turei Eved. Okay. I have a cousin who claims that he has the Pnei Yeshua's tefillin, but Pnei Yeshua is a relative, so, you know, at least, okay, who has Rabbi Kiveger's copy of the Turei Eved? Okay. He gielo b'ksav yado, b'nagos av ra'isi es kushyoso, Laharishonim, the Sabri Eini Shemotzia Saish, Ba'osan Mitzvos Draban and Shadashim Chayavos Ben, Shafin Hoy Ba'osan Nes. Amai, Gabi Ner Chanukah Bat Sadoim Isha Madlika Lov, Eino Tzorek Lahadlik, Halanoshim Chayavos Binor Chanukah Rak Mitam and Afin Hoy Ba'osan Nes. So this is the question. There's a debate among the Rishonim when it comes to Kriyas HaMegillah, which is based on the principle of Afen Hayiba Oso Anes. There's a debate whether or not women can be motzios, men, or not. A very healthy debate in the Rishonim. So Turei Eved asks the question. The truth is, that I'll show you in a moment, that Rishonim already addressed this question. It's sort of the earlier poskim. That, what's the question? Women are only obligated in Mikra Megillah because of Afen Hayiba Oso Anes. Otherwise, they would have been pturos because of Mithosatius Man Grama. But they are obligated, but they're obligated for a different, or on a different basis. And the question is, could they be motzi anashim, their obligation, based on this, or not? So the question that Turi Evan asked, which Rishonim already asked, was why can't you bring a proof from Ner Chanukah? We know that women are obligated in Ner Chanukah because Afin Oibos Haneis. And we know from cases of the Gemara that if the man certainly is not in the home, that the woman lights for the home, and everybody is Yotzei Yidei Chavoso. So we see that Afin Oibos Haneis can be a basis to be Motzi Anashim. The truth is that the Ritva in Shabbos, I think it's on page 6 or 7 here, discusses this question. On mine it's on page 7, you have that on page... could you show Ritva Shabbos, Chav Gimel Amid Aleph? I have to check here. So I waste time. You have it?
Yes, 16.
Oh, so where is it?
Number 16.
Oh, you have numbers. Wow. Okay, I don't have numbers. Okay. Well, you gave me a copy without numbers, and you gave everybody else numbers? Okay. So, number 16?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Haroah Nochar Kotzarek Levare. Sorry. Kiddush HaRitva Shabbos Kav Gimel Amid Aleph? The second one. Isha Vadai Madlika? Pirish Afil Lahotzi Acher Midei Chova. Kiven Shihim Chuyavis B'davar. Yenomer B'Shur B'Levi Noshim Chayavis B'Ner Chanukah. The Ein Adin Kain B'Mikra Megillah. The Ritva acknowledges this reality. The box suggests that Mikra Megillah is connected to the pattern or the paradigm of Sefer Torah. And since women cannot be motzi achera men in Kriyas HaTorah, they can't in Mikra Megillah. There are many answers that are given to this question. Rishonim discuss it. However, the Rav thought that the whole thing was wrong, and this is what I want to zero in on. I think it's a very critical yesod. The Lohaivanti Kushazu, I'm back on page 2. Ki ma shayef din shel echad motzi chaverim din shel shomea ka'ona l'ner Chanukah. The b'kiyum adlaka shel ner Chanukah din shomea ka'ona enon b'inyano klal. What the Rav basically says is, don't think that ner ishu beso is a mechanism that allows the yachid to fulfill his obligation. That would be the parallel to Mikra Megillah. There's an obligation, every individual, to hear Mikra Megillah. Women are obligated based on Afin Oibos Haneis, but otherwise they would have been pturos because of the Tzeishas Mangrama. And the question is whether that foundation allows for Shomea Ka'ona. But there's no Shomea Ka'ona in Ner Chanukah, not because it's a visual and not a vocal. What he's saying is, you're not being motzi anybody when you do Ner Isha Besa. It's a Chovas HaBayis. The bias expresses the family's obligation. The Kol Yisod D'Misha Madlikin Ale B'Toch Beso D'Yotzei Dekabaso Hu Din Miyucha Gabay Ner Chanukah B'Din Shemitzvah Chanukah Ner Yisho Beso Din B'Toch HaBayis Mitzkayim Kiyom Adlaka Hari Hadlaka Zu Poteris Is Kol B'nei HaBayis Ve'enam Tzrichim L'Hadlik. There is no individual Hadlaka that you're Yotzei through the Madlik. That's the Yisod. Aval HaMadlik Eino Motzi Acher Midei Chavasan El D'Niftarim Heim Mimela. The Yisod Din Ner Chanukah, the Yiskayim, Kiyum Adlaka, B'Toch Beso. I won't read more, but it's you get the basic idea. This is, seems to be a basic machlokas, whether or not Ner Isha Beso is a mechanism, or, I think there's a lot of evidence, I think it's very compelling to say, Ner Isha Beso is a chalos. And I believe that this was Shitas HaRambam. Rav doesn't say this. And that's why the Rambam built Mahadran and Mahadran and Mahadran on Ner Isha Beso, because it's a totally different chalos. It's not that there's a way of fulfilling the mitzvah in a minimalist way by one Ner, and everybody fulfills their individual obligation that way. Or you could do more, the best, and that would be you light it yourself, Mahadran and Mahadran. If you can be Yotze Shamea Ka'one, or its equivalent, it's always better, almost always better, unless it's Barobam Hadras Melech, to do the Maisa yourself. Shamea Ka'one doesn't even work in all cases. Shomei Ka'ona may not work, right, when you don't have the capacity to do it yourself. But Ner Isha Beso, and that's why I think the Rambam reformulated, it's not, and the slogan, that's how he understood the slogan, is a different category entirely. Ironically, the Bach uses a similar expression. We have the Bach, I'm guessing it would be on page 6 or 5? Number 20? What is it? Page 5, number 20? Yeah. Bas used a similar expression, although for a different reason. I'll get to his reason in a minute. The tema, the ma shebad likin olav, like the second line, the deso ena ba el liftaroso b'chiv amutal amamono, lahadnik neiros lefarsa manes barabim, avlaodol anes ubircha shechayanu, hu b'chiv al gufo, umizel lo niftar kishemad likin olav. Again, he has a different motivation. I'll get to it in just a second. But the Bach also uses the expression when it comes to hadlokas neiros chanuka, that there's no it's not motzi anybody. It's a din, it's a chovas habayis. And again, I think this is true in the Rambam. The Rambam says the bias is madlik. The balabayis represents the bias and is madlik on behalf of that chalos bias. Question is, it helps us understand much better what this mitzvah is, what this phenomenon is, but in the end of the day, it raises a bigger question, and that is, why and what is this? So this question is also reflected in the special yichus that the Ner Rishon, at least, seems to have, even when you accomplish mahadrin, mina mahadrin. And I'm very fond of the view of the Taz. Right, if you look here on page 3, what number? Shulchan Aruch Arachaim Tafresh Ayin Vav Dalet. I have very skilled, practiced helpers in the crowd. Adam? 8? What, page 3?
Page 2. Bottom of page 2,
number 8. And then followed by the Taz, which is going to be number 9? Okay. So on page 8, good. Shulchan Aruch Arachaim, Achar Shehidlik Omer Hanero Salom, Anu Madlikim Ala Chuas Ala Nisim Ala Niflos. Okay? It's a little, you have to figure out exactly how to get the cadences right and how you sing it, right? But at the end of the day, it's like everybody's favorite song this time of year. Oh. So when do you sing Hanero Salom? Says the Taz, quoting the Marshal, Rashal Kasav, Achar Hadlokas Harishon, Shehu Ikar Yomar Hanero Salolu. That's what we do, right? Many people's practice is to sing a Ner Salalu after the first Ner. Why? Because that's the Ikar Ner. That's Ner Rishabesa. Right, but we're doing Mahadran Amah. Everybody's doing Mahadran Amahadran. Why the Yichus? And it's not just a Yichus. It's a Hepsek. Why should we be Mapsik Mahadran Amahadran, which we're embracing, the Mitzvah Schanukah Chaviva Hiyad Ma'od? Why don't we wait till we finish the full mitzvah? The Ramah in Siman Tafrei Shayin Dalet, you don't have this here. I didn't put it out originally. Nagul lahachmir, there's a question whether you can light from one ner to the other in Neros Chanukah. Miner l'ner. A debate in the Gemara and the Poskim. The Ramah says in Siman Tafrei Shayin Dalet against the Shulchan Aruch, Nagul lahachmir b'Neros Chanukah shelo lahadlik afilo miner l'ner. The ikar mitzvaso eino ela ner echad, v'ashar eino ela lemitzvah. V'chein ein lahadlik mizel lezeh. Again, some of the poskim are very upset about it. Rabbi Kadeger was upset about it. We don't paskin. I mean, we don't practice neri shabeso. We paskin mahadrim and amahadrim. So why is neri shabeso still so prominent? All right, at least there it's a chumra. In the case of the singing, it seems to be I think that's not a kula either. I think it's an explanation of the Hodah of Neros Chanukah, but that's for another time. Okay. This question affects other things as well. So Rabbi Kiva Eger has a long tshuva, which we're not going to read inside, but it's fascinating reading. I think in our latest iteration we cut out part of it, but the relevant parts are, I'll just read one or two lines. I'm guessing it's page 2. Yeah? Should Rabbi Kinegar Madur Tinyana Siminid Gimel? Yeah? Number 7? Okay. So this is the question. The person lit Neros, it can happen a few different iterations of it. The person lit Neros Chanukah, Rishonim asks this question, so possibly in Chuvas Rambam about it, if that's really what he's talking about, in Orach HaChaim. A lot of Rishonim discuss it too. A person lit Neros Chanukah, and he forgot to make a bracha. And then as he was lighting candle number 4 or number 5, he remembered. Right? Can he make the bracha or not? That's Kol HaBrachos, Kol HaMitzvos, Mevar Kamalayim, Over LaSiyasan. This is not Over LaSiyasan. The real Over LaSiyasan should be in the beginning. The Yerushalmi has two deos in Masechet Brachos, Parak Tes, whether the preferred Over LaSiyasan is actually before you start the mitzvah completely, or in the middle of the mitzvah. Right? Lu Yitzur, if there ever is a middle of a mitzvah, there aren't so many mitzvahs that have a middle. Like in Talad Minim, it's Midag Ben Afak Bey. But, you know, where there's a middle of a mitzvah, maybe that's also good, or maybe that's even better. Fine. The question here is, the way Rabbi Kineger was asked the question, was, right, B'mi shehidlik ner chanukah b'lochetz, b'shachach havar chad lakasa, v'rak konim shehidlik kulon, nizkar nadayin lo birich, yesh levarech olo. So he says, listen, nearly to birchas al hanisim b'shachach yanu, yirakein b'layla echad, become up a mavarich, the logora me road and mavarich near was Chanukah. Now, if you're talking about Birchas HaRoah and Shachayanu, you could probably still make the bracha. They're different kind of brachas. But as far as the bracha l'hadlik ner shel Chanukah, which requires over l'asiyasan, we're not so sure about that. And then at one point he says the following. If you could skip down, this ach l'inyan l'hadlik. Everybody have that part? It's about 3, 6, 9, about 12, 10 lines down from the beginning of the discussion. He says the problem here is you're lighting mahadrim and a mahadrim. But once you lit the first candle, it should be all over for you because you're yotzei with nerisha besa. The mashe mosef aneros rach machmas hider mitzvah to l'shayich levarich alav. And then he adds, this is fascinating, the ein lahavi raya de shayich levarich ala hidur, right, danan, mevarchin kol b'nei bayis, what about every home, where after the first person lights with a bracha, nobody should be able to, if you have that mentality, no one should be able to light with a bracha ever again. Because the balabais lit, the whole family is yotzei, and therefore any other bracha that anybody else makes is only on mahadrim and on mahadrim. So listen to what he says. After bidina nerisha beso ve'enam b'pinoch b'kla mahadrim ze'eno the shiny hasam kibin the ritzon olios me'am mahadrim kavanaso shalalotzeis b'sholzeh ha'madlik. He has some sort of an implicit kavana not to be yotzei with the balabais. That's a chiddush of Rabbi Kineger. It's not so pashut. Probably it's easier to suggest that once you're involved in mahadrim and a mahadrim, right? The other person's hadlaka doesn't affect you. One would have thought. And certainly, if you're trying to light seven candles, right, from your point of view, the mitzvah is not nigmar. It's began already. Certainly, if you take the view of the Yerushalmi that you can make bracha over l'asiyasan in the middle of a mitzvah, at least you should be considered to be in the middle of the mitzvah. Once again, you have this idea that even within the context of mahadrin, a mahadrin, ner ishu beso, whether it's in the bias, which then needs a kavana lolatzeis, or in the individual himself lighting, ner ishu beso continues to be a significant factor. This is an issue with regard to Birchas HaRoah and Shechiyanu as well. Gemara says in Shabbos that, as we know, first night to make three brachos on ner Hanukkah. Right. You make a bracha l'hadlik ner shel Chanukah, you make shas hanisim, and then you make shechiyah. And then the Gemara says, on the other nights you only make the two brachos. And then the Gemara says that haroeh, if a person sees ner Chanukah, somebody else is ner Chanukah, and he has not yet, you know, made the bracha, right? So he makes the bracha of shas hanisim lavoseinu by amim ahim bezmanos. So then there's a major, major debate among the Rishonim and then later among the Poskim about the following question. There are two questions. Number one, let's say you're on the way back from Kolel, you know, or work, right? And you encounter a menorah, right? You're going to be home in an hour, New York traffic, right? But right now you encounter this menorah. Shouldn't you say the Birchas HaRoah? Mitzvah bal yadcha al tach mitzena. There's reason be mitzvahs. Hechan matzino that you could do a mitzvah and you hold off and you don't do it. And we know you're yotzei because if you're not going home at all and and you're not going to fulfill the obligation, you certainly are supposed to make the Birkas HaRoah. Should you make the Birkas HaRoah earlier, or should you wait till you're home? That's one question. An even more important question is, let's say you're not going home that night. You're on a business trip, and you're not going to light wherever you are. You're going to fulfill your obligation with the fact that with the family is lighting at home. Neri Shubeso, or whatever takes place in the home, you're being yotze through the bias. So do you make a Birchas HaRoah wherever you are? Because that's the only light that you're seeing. You're not experiencing Ner Chanukah at all otherwise. When the Gemara says that you make a Birchas HaRoah, is it only if you're not fulfilling or mitzuraf to the obligation or the kiyum of Ner Chanukah at all? Or does it mean you're not experiencing it yourself? These are two issues that are debated in the Rishon. If you look here very quickly at the Rajba, I'm guessing page 5? What?
Page 4.
That's why, yeah. Okay. Page 4, number 15. The Rajba says as follows. Haroa Mevarek, Mestabra v'shalo hidlik. V'lo hidliku alav betof beso. Based on Diukim and Rashi, they take the Rashi different ways. He said that's a case where he didn't light, and they didn't light on his behalf at home. So then when he encounters a menorah, he will make the bracha. You know, also the hadlik balayla. Halabachi ain't sorok lebarek. Halamatzinu. Right? After all, where do we find Yotze min mitzvah v'chozer mevarech al ariyah? The Yesh Mirabosa, the Pirshu, Afa bishamadlik and ala betok beso tzorek levarech al ariyah. The Ein layim al mashi yismochu. So this is very controversial. The Ritva says it a little differently. The Ritva only speaks here about the case where the guy is coming home late and the problem is rizos. So it says, Yafa pirish rashi b'shem rabosa, So what's fascinating is the Ritva doesn't say what I think others mean. The Ritva says it's better to integrate the brachas, birchas haroah, the shemach v'hodah, and the hadlaka, that is preferred, even if it means delaying making the bracha. Eim avir nala mitzvahs. I think another possibility is, it's better to say the birchas hodah, even the birchas hodah, in the bias, right, than it is to say it earlier. What the Ritva here doesn't discuss is the other problem, the Rajma problem. And that is, even if you're not going to experience the candles at all, that's a very big hitch. So the Bach that I mentioned before, not going to read it extensively, that's what the Bach is rebelling against. The Bach says, listen, you could be Yotze, the mitzvah hadlaka, Neri Shubeso, Babayis, even if you're not there. Because it's not, you're not Motzi Acherim Yidei Chobasam through the bias, it's a din of the bias. But that's true for the Hadlaka. It's not true for the Hodah, and it's not true for the Shechayanu. The Magen Avram, if you look here, the Shulchan Aruch Chaim, right after the Ritva, Paschal's like, right, the Gam Ein Madlikin Olav B'Tov, Mishalo Hidlik Vedo, Asa L'Hadlik Ba'osa Alayla, the Gam Ein Madlikin Olav B'Tov Besa. Paschal's like that, Rajba, like Rashi, Kishiro and Rechanika Mevarit. But if you're Yotze through the home, you don't have to. And then he says, "Ubalel Rishon Mevarik Gam Shechiyanu, Imachatach Balel Beis or Gimel Balahadlik Ein Akozim Mevarik Shechiyanu." So the post can say it seems from the Shulchan Aruch that you don't have to say Birchas HaRoah or Shechiyanu, even though you never experience. These are experiential brachos. How could you have experiential brachos that you never experience? So that's what the Magen Avraham quotes the Bach for some reason selectively. He says, "Avalemishto hidlika ala barishon tzarich levarich bilel sheni shechiyanu." The ishta ina poteres gufo ala beso. The truth is that the Bach really said it, not only about shechiyanu but about birchas haroah as well.
It's not a personal exemption. It's a din in the bias. The bias of din in hadlaka. It's not a din in hodah. It's not a din in shafia.
And what are the other rishonim thing? Either that you're motzi, or that the bias, the din bias, is also about shafianu and din roa. The li nira pashut, says the Magen Avraham. For the poskim kishe ishto nadlika alav ein tzarech lebarech alaviya im kein hu adin ein tzarech lebarech shafianu kishe madlik. So it's a fascinating argument where you draw the line in this respect. But once again, what we have is a major debate, and that is, you're sacrificing zrizin, a personal connection to the Birchas Hodah, to Shechayanu. Should you do that either to integrate the Re'iyah and the Hodah with the Hadlaka? That's something we've spoken about in years past. But for some Rishonim, the question is, will you even do that to integrate with the bias, because the bias is such a central component. So what is this really all about? The truth is, even if you look at Al HaNisim, it's noteworthy that the Al HaNisim of Purim focuses on Mordechai and Esther, right? Not on their family. It could be that their family members were not involved. Very possible. Right? The Al HaNisim of Hanukkah focuses on Matisyahu Ubana, the Hashemiroim family. And then, of course, the Rambam discusses, you know, what happened to the Chashmonaim family afterwards. He's very praiseworthy about them. Ramban in his Perush HaTorah and Parshas Vayechi, Lo Yasur Shevet Miyehuda, is very critical of them. But this focus on the Matisyahu Ubanav family is something which stands out very much in the context of the story of Chanukah. But I think it's much more than historical background, and it's not just credit, because these are the people who came forward, and therefore, like Neri Shebeso, it's a mishpacha-oriented festival. It is partly that, but I think even more important is a theme that we've developed over the years, and that is that a theme that everybody develops. Hanukkah is not just about salvation. Right? The whole war was unnecessary, except that it was a battle for principle. It was a battle for ideology. It was a cultural struggle. And the cultural struggle of Hanukkah centered, in many respects, around the family. And this, I think, in three different ways. Number one, Greek culture itself, right, wasn't antithetical to family, but family as a category didn't fit easily, as many have noted, in the profile of Greek ideology and culture. The idea that is the focal point in Greek thought is the individual. It could be the artistic development of the individual. There are some sublime aspects of it. But that, side by side with Greek hedonism, again, even the artistic aspect focuses on individual gratification, an individual accomplishment. Again, the culture that succeeded Greece as being dominant in the world was the Roman culture, and that very much focused on community or organizations or the capacity of organizations to facilitate on behalf of individuals. But there too, the state or the organized life, not the same as the Jewish idea of a collective unit, and especially not the idea of a national unit that stems from and out of the family unit. Yahadus sees the family as both a bridge between the individual and the community, which we spoke of earlier, or the nation, a bridge to both, but also the enhancement of each, and by virtue of the fact that the family has its own special characteristics and its own special identity. And part of this struggle, this ideological struggle, centered around this very perspective. The cultivation of an identification with others, not just self-worship or self-gratification, not just to facilitate greater instrumental and utilitarian benefits, or even some sort of a abstract goal or affiliation, but the idea of generating a structure which accentuates empathy an altruism, and a mutual identity, a sense of broader purpose that transcends the individual, that is not achievable only by virtue of the individual, that's not achievable even by the group without a kind of siyata dishmaya. A deep, intuitive, altruistic, self-defining bond, the kind of bond that we speak of in the very first words spoken about man. Man is created, right? B'tzelem Elokim, b'tzachar u'nekeva bara osam, right? It's one bria. Chazal speak about du partzufim, right? How man and woman were created. Ezer kenegdo, but al ken yazov isha saviv yasimo v'hoyel basar echad. The creation of man from the very beginning is tied up with the creation of the family unit. V'hoyel basar echad means the existential bond between husband and wife, and it also means the extension of that bond and the cementing of that bond through producing a family, offspring, children, toldos, in that sense. Brotherhood and father and son, mother, daughter, the nuclear family in all of its aspects, transcends self-interest and cultivate in a protected, private, safe environment the singular destiny of the individual that is also valued by and enhanced by the family unit, and that makes possible and gives sanctity to the bigger units that come out of the family, namely the community and the nation. And that whole perspective, not the perspective of Yefes, but the perspective of shame, the perspective ultimately of Klal Yisrael. So that in the ideological struggle between the Misyavnim and Yahadus, Chashmonoyu Banav took the lead, but the concept of family itself was very much part of the Kulturkampf itself. Moreover, family served a critical function in any cultural war. The need for fortification, for support, these are factors that alone allow individuals who have conviction and principle to wage a countercultural battle or revolution. Need a support system to reinforce conviction and commitment and resolve, to banish the powerful sense of alienation, which as a result of being in the minority and constantly being castigated and ridiculed, that is synonymous with being an av levadad yishko. Klal Yisrael can be a nation because it has the units, the empathetic, trusting units of the family that it is comprised of and that is indispensable to creating that particular image of a very special nation. The worthy pivotal endeavor of the goals of Klal Yisrael. Sometimes you need the whole nation to turn into an extended family. That's why we find language in Tanakh and in the world of Halacha, which speak about national obligations. I'll speak more about that very quickly. There's a whole host of Halachos that reflect this, where the cornerstone of Halachic life is referred to in family terms and has also a family component, a priority of family. In the Haftorah that we just read this past Shabbos, Parshas Vayeshev, the Navi Amos speaks about the special destiny of Klal Yisrael in terms of family, right? Shimu es hadavar hazeh, asher diber Hashem aleichem, b'nei Yisrael, right? Vel kol ha-mishpacha asher halesi me'eretz Mitzrayim lemor, rak etchem yodati mikol mishpachot ha-adama, alkein afkir aleichem es kol avonoseichem. While the Alkein Afkir Aleichem is Kol Avon Aseichem needs some explanation, the Mishpacha reference in this context is very critical. That's the second element. And the third element has to do with the halachic system itself. As I just alluded, and we'll take another couple of minutes just very quickly just to give a couple of examples to amplify, the halachic system itself, which provides a foundation for a purposeful and a meaningful life, right? And again, obviously, is what Klal Yisrael were denied by the Greek cultural conf and fighting against the extinction of that sense of purpose and destiny. The basis for indispensable and otherwise impossible goal of Haskel via Doa Osi, of having a meaningful kesher with the Rabbono Shalom, is itself built, as I said, on the cornerstone of the family structure. From the very beginning of Bereshis to the Avos, to the transition from the Avos to the end of Bereshis to Shmos, the whole story of Mechiras Yosef is a story of brotherhood, the story of Dina is a story of brotherhood, brotherhood gone wrong in some cases, or to excess, or misdirected, but it's all about family. And the use of, you know, both family names, individual names, and Klal Yisrael destiny names in these parts of the Torah's description are intentional. We'll get to it in a couple of minutes, but Yaakov and Yisrael in particular reflect this idea. It starts from Adam and Chava, B'hayu L'basar Echad, Himu Shutfin B'Adam, but every chapter in our history, right, is based on the extension of families into a national life, the extension from family back into individual aspiration. Talmud Torah, which is the greatest foundation that we have for everything, Gishem Hashem Ekra, Habugodel Elokeinu, for having a relationship with the Rabbanu Shalom, Estako Boraiso Bora Alma, is addressed, the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, is addressed to the family context. Vishinanta Levanacha, Velimartem Osam, refers to a family, nuclear family unit. But as we know, Banecha Talmidecha, and the Rebbe is a father, right? Shemivio Lechai Olam Abba. It's not a coincidence that the Torah uses these expressions. In the context of tzedakah, which is a national obligation, and in some respects also has a concentric circle which applies to other nations as well. Farnesin Aniyei Akum, Im Aniyei Yisrael, Mipnei Darkei Shalom. The fact is that the Torah uses the expression Ki Yamuch Achicha, and we have the principles of Kedima in place. Again, it's a little late, so I'm not going to read inside, but there's a tshuva that I have here of the Chacham Tzvi, in which he suggests, and others disagreed with some of the Pratim, but Simen Ayin, in which he suggests that one should extend the Kedima that the Rambam speaks about in Hilchos Tzedakah, that Aniyei Mishpachtecha Kodem, to numerous other issues as well. Makirei Kahuna, he says that if it's true for physical needs and poverty, that Achicha Kodem, even where it doesn't say in the Gemara, he's expanding it, that it's certainly true for Chai Olam Haba, issues that have to do with a person's spiritual life. Chacham Tzvi very, very powerfully, he says in our Gemaras, it sounds, you know, that they disagree with this, but the overwhelming global evidence, my term, but that's what he's basically saying, is that Achicha Kodem is a much more expansive halacha than one might think. Indeed, even the things that we apply to non-Jews, many of the limits, whether it's Ribbis or Shemitas Ksafim, are explained by the Rishonim precisely as a function of the fact that in the end of the day, many of our national obligations, the Torah uses the expression, not Re'ehu, but Achicha. We have a bigger notion of what family means. We can only have that bigger notion because first we focus on the concentric circle of family first itself. And that is tainted or tarnished by being too universalistic. So while there is tzedakah for others as well, the level of tzedakah and certain chasadim are an expression of family loyalty. And as such, they are limited to Klal Yisrael. We'll take a minute or two in just a minute to note that Shabbos and the Moadim, each of these have special components that certainly accentuate the mishpacha angle or the mishpacha foundation or cornerstone of then applying these same dinim more broadly in the psukim, in priorities, and so on. So to commemorate the conviction and the mesiras nefesh and the dedication of mishpachat hakashmonaim to the goal of halachic structure, yachid, tzibur, and the glue that ties it together in so many different ways Mishpacha and Achva, they designed a mitzvah, Chavivahi Ad Ma'od, with all of the trappings, the core of which was steeped in and anchored in Neri Shubeso. Not as a minimalist idea, but as a chalos din hadlokas habayis. And even the Mahadrin and the Mahadrin min Mahadrin, according to the Rambam, right, issue from there. And according to the Ramah, even according to the Ramah, according to many poskim, it takes an individual expression, but that individual expression continues to acknowledge that neri shubeso, even when it causes halachic issues and problems. Far from constituting, then, a challenge to halachic maximalism or Mahadrin min Mahadrin, and the embodiment of spiritual excellence, the expression Neri Shubeso and the dinam of Neri Shubeso accentuate further a celebration of the mitzvah chaviva and the maximalism of halacha as a system. If this is true, we can understand something else about Chanukah, just very briefly, and that is some very unusual dinam that we encounter very quickly. Shalom Bayis. Gemara says in Shabbos, we have it here in the on the sheets, on Daf Chav Gimel, that if you have Ner Chanukah, if you have to choose between Ner Chanukah and Kiddush Hayom, as we said before, you choose Ner Chanukah. Let's say it's Ner Chanukah and Shalom Bayis, Ner Shabbos. So the Gemara says Shalom Bayis wins out. Okay, that's fascinating. But what's... What's very intriguing is, I mean, does that make sense? Is that just a matter of, you know, a clash, you know, between two mitzvos and this takes priority? Or is there something more internal about this? So there's fascinating discussion in some of the later poskim about the following question. The Rambam in Perek Dalet, Hilchos Chanukah, Halacha Yud Beis, we read it before, says you even sell the shirt off your back in order to go out and buy Neros Chanukah. Do you sell the shirt off your back in order to buy Neros Shabbos? Ah. So there are some poskim who say, obviously, because it's a linear hierarchy of the mitzvos, and obviously, Ner Shabbos Shalom Bayis is the most important of these mitzvos. So if you're Mocher Ksuso for Ner Chanukah, you're Mocher Ksuso for Ner Shabbos as well. And other poskim, Ber Halacha seems to say that, other poskim seem to be very reluctant to come to that conclusion. There's no makor for it. And they come, therefore, to the following question. Let's say you don't have Neros Chanukah. Let's say you don't have to sell the shirt off your back for Neros Shabbos. Right? But you do have to sell the shirt off your back for Neros Chanukah, but you still don't have Neros Shabbos. So on Shabbos Chanukah, do you have to sell the shirt off your back and then buy Neros Shabbos? Or use it for Ner Shabbos? Whatever you say about this question, it works for what we're trying to basically accomplish. And that is the suggestion that this is not just a clash between two mitzvahs. Right? Then there are kulas and chumras and everything should be consistent. But the idea seems to be that in addition to the general idea of Shalom Bayis, there's a special dimension of Shalom Bayis that is particularly characteristic on the or characterized when there's a clash between Ner Chanukah and Shalom Bayis. And if the notion of Ner Shubeso isn't just a minimalist way to fulfill the mitzvah or nod to the Chashmonai family or just a way to make it easier so all of Klal Yisrael without too much effort can participate, but rather to din in the Chovas HaBayis for the reasons that I mentioned or some of them or maybe other ones as well, so then the idea that Shalom Bayis is an internal factor in Chanukah becomes a possibility. Another question that the poskim dealt with, right? Some of the poskim say, well, Bizmanenu, we light inside the house. Right? So it shouldn't really be such a clash anymore. Ah. What does that mean? So you should, what bracha do you make on the Ner? Make the bracha on the Ner Shabbos or Ner Chanukah or both? Is there a din of Enos and Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos? And is that just a technical question in general about what the parameters of Enos and Mitzvos Chavilos Chavilos are? But again, if we think that Ner Chanukah and Ner Shalom Bayis have a certain internal relationship because of Ner Shabeso, we're going to look at this question in a very different way. I think that this also is part of the reason that while Nashim are Chayavos, the mitzvahs near Hanukkah, and while there is some debate, understand, whether they're Motzios HaNashim, as some Rishonim have it, or it's a din in the bias and so on, which are particularly Akaras HaBayis is apt to accomplish, what's fascinating is that some poskim at a certain point developed the idea of applying the din of Baal Ki'ishto when it came to Neiros Chanukah. Again, we don't find it in the Gemara. Baal Ki'ishto is a very limited idea. It applies in Korva, you know, in two sets, Psul Korva. Husband and wife are like Bali Dvarim to each other. Right? Isn't that a beautiful idea? Or, if you want to figure out who's related to who in terms of family connections, you know, you get a couple of Baal Ki'ishtos, you know, mixed in when you're trying to figure out the hierarchy of relatives. We're not going to go into details, don't worry. That's the principle of Baal Ki'ishto. It appears in a few other places. You can't just apply Baal Ki'ishto when you want to. But if the idea of Ner Chanukah is the idea of family, and family is the unit both to enhance individual obligation and the tzibur, and in its own right, and it plays a special role, and it's Ner Ishubeso, then the idea of Baal Ki'ishto is something which may emerge as a very, it has, and people today, you know, accept, they don't even realize that it's a later suggestion in terms of its servant. Similar problem with the issue of Beis HaKnesses, which I alluded to before. That is, why didn't the Beis HaKnesses become the locus, the venue for Neiros Chanukah? And the truth is, there are all sorts of issues. You go to a wedding, they have these, you know, public things. The Rav was very against, he liked the lighting in the Beis HaKnesses. He also thought it needed to be integrated with tefillah in terms of how you do it, when you do it, etc. But this idea that any pirsum aneis is good, he wasn't for that. But the phenomenon itself is fascinating. The Chacham Tzvi, as I say, has a whole tshuva. This is Simon Peches. We're not going to go into details right now. But it's based on the principle that it's not in the Gemara, you know, especially if you're Sfardim, who say, Eim Mevorchen Al HaMinog, they don't make a bracha on Halal on Rosh Chodesh, he says, I don't see why they should be making a bracha on Neiros Chanukah. He says, and you'll tell me about Pursume Nisan and Kiddush Hashem, fine, very good, but it's not in the Gemara. So I once saw a comment by Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch, I think I wrote it down, in the second volume of his collected works, page 197. So he said, you know, the mitzvah is not to light in the shul, right? Because our salvation has not issued from the temples in the but from the temples in the past, nor will it now. The deliverance will come from the home, mipi olal in v'yodkin. That's a beautiful line. The shul is not the primary lechatchil. There's also a din in kiyum tzibur. All sorts of questions. Let's say you said Shechianu in the shul. What do you do when you come home? It's a different, totally different kiyum, probably. Okay. If this is the case, we can also understand a major discussion in the poskim, which we're not going to go into, and that is the status of ketanim. There's a range of views, whether ketanim light at all, right? Whether they could be the ones who write for light for the Neri Shabeso. But we don't have to look at it from the perspective of Chovas Chinuch and the status of ketanim generally. We may perhaps be better served by looking at this question in terms of the role of ketanim serving, right, as representatives of the bias of the mishpacha. It could be less, it could be more. It could be lahakel, it could be lahakmir. And the truth is that we find both of these elements. The truth is that every holiday has a mishpacha component. Shabbos has a mishpacha component. Right. The person is obligated, you know, not only in his own Shmirah Shabbos, but you know, Bito and Bno and Bito, and those are separate dinim and critical dinim in Hilchos Shabbos. Every Yom Tov has a din of a Simachas Ishto. Yom Kippur, which is the day of the Kohen Gadol, and the day of Yinisim Esnafshel Seichem, the day which turns its back on all physical, material pleasure, the day of Kulal Hashem, is the day of the Kohen Gadol who has to be Nasui. The Rama mentions it almost as an afterthought based on the Gemara, but like that's just the Hagadara. You can't be a Kohen Gadol if you're not Nasui. On other occasions we've tried to explain that the Rambam's view, that was his idea, is that you're supposed to be married all year round. It's connected to Yom Kippur. But what does Yom Kippur have to do with being married? The vidui of the Kohen Gadol, ba'ado u'ba'ad beso, ba'ad kol kal Yisrael, has to start with Baal Ki Ishto, with his family. This is the most ascetic, seemingly, day of the year. So it's not only a rejection of celibacy or asceticism. It basically says that Klal Yisrael, there's no Klal Yisrael if there's no Mishpachas Yisrael. And that begins with Baal Ki Ishto, and it continues with family life in a broader way. The truth is that in Sukkah, right, it's all about relocating the bias. Rama's famous view, speaking about the kula of not sleeping in the sukkah because of separating a husband and a wife, what does that have to do with the mitzvah of sukkah? He doesn't say it's mitzvah. Every yomtiv has its special focus, and maybe more than any others, Pesach. I have some Mar Makomos here that we're not going to read now, but of course the unit in Pesach, in Korban Pesach, is Minui and Chabura. And the Mechilta notes that if you look in the Torah, it's Selebe Savo, Selebayis. The original one was the family. We do now is a Chabura that's an imitation of the... The family is the category. And for that reason, the status of Nashim in Pesach Rishon and in Pesach Sheni is a little bit different than you would expect. She's Chayavos, but she's Rishus in Pesach Sheni. That's an in-between status. And the status of Ketanim is different in Korban Pesach than you would expect. A Katan who grows up, you know, after Pesach, before Pesach Sheni, is exempt from Pesach Sheni because he was part of the Chabura as a Katan. If he was part of the Chabura as a Katan, it's part of the Chalos Chabura. You can't make a Chabura only of Katanim either. Katanim can be part of the Kiyum Chabura, Doraisa, not Chinuch, because they're part of the family unit, because Chabura is a family. It's a family unit. It's a family foundation. And Korban Pesach is the korban of Amuna. It's the bris. It's the bris milah equivalent of the rabbin, of the tzibur. Nothing less. V'igarta lebincha b'yom ahu, right? And keneged arba banim dibra Torah, Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim, which plays the role that it plays, is not only about children, biological children, certainly not, but it is about, again, this unit of family. And so, basically, what I'm suggesting is that not only, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu was the exception, you know, in terms of his family life, but the role of family life as the linchpin of Jewish society is something which is a sine qua non, it's something which is a given, it's axiomatic to halachic life more generally. So let me just conclude by saying the following. It's a mysterious but undeniable phenomenon that when cherished family members pass away, when they depart this earth, they depart the scene, beyond the sense of irrevocable loss to the individual, and of course to the family unit, the collective of the family, it's also true that invariably there's a disruption and a shift, sometimes a seismic shift, sometimes a subtle shift, that challenges all of the other intra-individual and collective family dynamic and interrelationships as well. Every essential family member, some are more essential than others, but all are essential in some way, usually according to their level of family involvement, constitutes some sort of glue that shapes and that molds and that gives proportions to the family. And that equilibrium is disrupted when such a person leaves the scene. It's only restored, I don't know fully, but it's restored when personal and family legacies are actually fully comprehended and appreciated, even in situations where they're not always articulated. Family, indeed, is the cornerstone of meaningful, purposive life. It's the framework that enhances and bridges, but especially the key existential entity of our halachic and therefore meaningful existence. And therefore, it couldn't be otherwise. There has to be this kind of disruption. And again, only a sense of deep appreciation, a lot of reflection, can bring you back to the state of equilibrium. And this is the yahrzeit that I commemorate in my mother's patira. And this is a particularly appropriate topic, you know, for her. As my mother, and I've said this in the past, somebody who was very talented, very gifted in many respects, had many special individual accomplishments professionally in terms of teaching as a Rebbetzin, you know, her relationships with people. But she always had a sense of, I wouldn't say inadequacy, but she was very humble, let's say, but it wasn't fake humility. It was something that troubled her a little bit also, that her impact vis-a-vis others, more high-profile members of the family, you know, was somehow less, because she was a quieter person, more refined, and more limited in terms of her public impact, certainly. But the rest of us always understood instinctively that this was certainly not the case, and that as somebody who really embraced and immersed herself in family life, and who, by the way that she lived, you know, instinctively understood that family was the cornerstone of individual, of communal, and especially, you know, the center of purposeful life, she is somebody whose impact in all of us was truly enduring. So this yahrzeit shiur is obviously in her honor, and the topic speaks for itself. Thank you.